Is there anybody out there?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello?
Is there anybody in there?
No.
All right, sounds like I have a Superior Steve, a philandering Phil, and a commanding Kevin.
Oh, Phil's life sounds so fun.
Whose?
Yours, the philandering one.
Oh, well, it's a lot of work.
This show is not for the easily offended, so if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Indie Comic Book Noise. You're in for a particularly exciting episode, as all four of the new original hosts, I mean, not the original hosts, but the current original hosts are back.
Much fanfare.
Who are those four, would you say? Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, even though you already know. It's me, Andrew the Alley Rabbit. We also have regular host WWX Kev from the Icebox. Say hi, Kev.
Boy, people sure think gritty comics are a bad idea.
Giving us
now, you tell them.
Giving us the view from the country's capital. It's the Ottawa Otter, Phil. Say hi, Phil.
Yeah. I'm in the city that will get bombed first when the Americans get pissed at us.
And dialing in from the state capital, it's Super Steve from the bunker. Say hi, Steve.
Hello. Is there really all that much hostility towards Ottawa?
Yeah, China hates us.
Oh.
I mean, it is
by way of New York.
I thought Steve might get on me for slandering him by associating him with Albany, but he knows the power of the Tri-City area.
Small I slander him all the time like that. It's just easier.
Yeah. We don't want to reveal his secret base and co-host. Indie Comic Book Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. What's that, you say? The Deliberate Noise Network. It's an exciting collection of podcasts and lifestyle brands, which you can find anything you want. I mean, obviously, there's a large focus on comic books, but there's other aspects of pop culture and life advice you can get. One very popular member, some might argue the shining star of the family, is Marvel Noise, hosted by sometime Indie Comic Book Noise host Steve Raker.
Yay.
Hey, Steve. Yay. What do you want to tell the folks about Marvel Noise?
I wouldn't be doing it if I couldn't be doing it without you and Kevin. I mean, you guys and I have been helming that show now for several years, and it's still fun.
What's coming up?
We just had a episode that relived the 70s Power Records Amazing Spider-Man Man-Wolf confrontation, and we've got this ongoing New Warriors thing because Andrew keeps buying these stacks of books.
He's addicted. He loves the later run.
And then, like, there's all these other books with those books, and then it's like, well, then we got to cover those too. So yeah, really, you know, so he can write it all off on the expense Marvel Noise expense report.
Sounds like he's fighting for control.
Do we have an indie expense report?
Nope, that's indie.
No. Oh, damn it.
You can find old episodes of this podcast at indiecomicbooknoise.com. That's N-D-I-E. You can also find us on the social medias. We have a Twitter, Indie Comic Book N, Facebook. Kevin, do you have an update on our TikTok account status?
No. No. Apparently there is cat videos or something. I mean, seriously, anytime that TikTok comes up anywhere, it's always in relation to cat videos. Like that must be the only thing they have.
I'm slightly concerned that someone may steal squat the Indie Comic Noise TikTok, but hopefully that won't happen. Phil, how are we progressing on our Instagram account?
Well, I have it up, and as you requested, I have only put up pictures of donkey balls.
All right, so you can check out Indie Comic Book Noise there. Indie Comic Book Noise, as you could tell from the disclaimer at the beginning of the show and Phil's rude suggestions about donkey genitalia, we sometimes cross upon adult themes and language because, you know, comic books cover everything, the whole world.
Balls.
And that can have some scary kind of adult things to it, but I always disclaim our disclaimer by saying, generally, the four of us never say controversial things at all.
Yep. We're old men now. We're
really, the most controversial thing we might say on a tangent when we venture
into Valiant Comics
video game noise is something like the Nintendo 64 was the best video game system ever. Well, that might be the most.
Phil hasn't been reading the Zenoscope like he used to, so that nope, cuts off a whole angle of...
Yeah, you guys can't make fun of me anymore there. I've been off for years now, so it's done.
In Indie Comic Book Noise, the structure of the show is a free-form discussion of anything and all things independently comic book noise. That can include not just the comic books themselves, but collections, newspaper strips, maybe media tie-ins. While everyone thinks immediately of movies and TV, I come from a golden era of licensing when you could find Spider-Man underoos and Spider-Man flashlights and
still can,
all sorts of other crazy business. Although I did see a knockoff Incredible Hulk marital aid. It was
pretty funny. Sure wasn't Savage Dragon with the direction that book's been going?
It's true. It's probably Savage Dragon.
So, you know, all kinds of toys out there reflecting your interests in all things comic book noise related. Yeah, but yeah, it's an exciting time. Sometimes we talk about news, like we had the big announcement about Todd McFarlane expanding the Spawniverse. Oh, and yeah. I even watched the panel he did for WonderCon.
Wow. What are his books? Like, are they actual interesting titles he's putting out, or is it just more of the same shit?
It's the Spawnverse. I actually, after listening to him, I was pretty excited. I'm like, you know, if I ever go back to a comic book store...
Well, I'm reading Spawn right now. I'm enjoying it.
I would read some of these titles, you know, buy a few of them. I kind of opted out of the original Image burst on the scene, and I want a taste of some of that exciting, you know, like it's another gold rush, gentlemen. Like, this is a chance to get in
and on right the ground now, floor. Right now, it feels like a real superhero comic for the first time. Like, it's not what it was before. Yeah. It's a little different.
But if you thought those big-name artists he announced were the interior artists, you might be a little disappointed.
Well, I've been liking their...
If I could tell you...
Didn't he have stuff like Frank Quitely or J. Scott Campbell or, like, names like that? And it's like, they're not...
Did anyone think J. Scott Campbell was going to be doing interiors? I mean, I think that if you thought that, then you're not a credible source to be looking at that. But yeah, it seems fun.
Yeah, you don't have it covered if you thought they were doing something else.
Well, Kevin, if I could tell you to go back to 1963 and get on board with the Marvel train, you would, wouldn't you?
I mean, yes.
So here we are. It's 2021, and the second wave of Image expansion is happening.
Yep.
Don't be left out.
Well, what took them so long?
Well, it was funny. He actually, in the preface, was talking about how after the last anniversary issue, like, I guess the sales of the title have exploded. Like, the new issues are doing really well. And I wonder if that's prompted him to think this.
It was the Capullo cover.
An expansion was good now.
Well, like I say, I'm enjoying it. I think it's fun now.
What does he attribute the increase in sales to?
I think he's probably...
Well, I think he got some old people interested again.
Yeah.
It's not that he's pumping out the variant covers on each issue now, is it? It doesn't, wouldn't have anything
Most
to do
people
with...
don't pay attention to that, though. Like, variant covers, I never pay attention to that.
No, like, yeah, the general public might not pay attention or know they exist, but if someone's scooping up tons of copies,
the three
so
people
they can
who
qualify
do.
For that one in 100 because
you can get one of your
whatever.
New covers again.
It might affect your sales.
Phil, you know he's on the Peach Momoko train.
Yeah. New one very... came just this week. So I got one out of the 100 that came out in the last month.
Kevin is personally going to keep her in the variant cover business.
I mean, it was the same price as the regular. So was I going to get the regular Alien cover or was I going to get the Peach Alien? I thought I might as well just get the Peach Alien.
All right. Well, boys, and starting in the tradition, we fired off some not necessarily indie comic book news.
Way to go, Andrew.
Hey, she did the variant cover for Red Room. So that's an indie book that's coming out.
Alien used to be an indie book.
Yeah. The most indie of indie books.
You don't recognize Ed Piskor? Do you skip all the intros to their videos where they do their promotions?
I mean, my mind usually wanders because, you know.
But he's got a Peach Momoko.
It gets to be the same thing after a while.
Aren't you scrambling to get that her variant cover for his book?
Seriously, there's a
he has a Peach Momoko.
Oh well, okay, that makes sense now. Because when he went to Japan, I think he went.
Excitement in his voice.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I'm not making this up. She's doing a variant cover for his book. And another shocker, Kevin, awesome. Brace yourself. Jim Rugg is also doing one. I just don't
pre-order his book. Like, it just seemed like something I wasn't going to be into, and I'm like.
I feel the same way. The Red Room premise, for those of you that were talking about Ed Piskor, Hip Hop Family Tree, was how he broke into the scene, part of cartoonist Kayfabe, the YouTube channel. He has he's been serializing a story, Red Room, which is about like underground dark web snuff channels and stuff.
Oh, that
sounds like it might be your bag, Phil.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
It's horror. Like, they're killing people on the dark web and filming it. So I thought
but
that...
I'm not into that, like, rape or torture porn shit.
I don't think there's sex. It just didn't... I'm like, snuff film comics don't...
Yeah, I don't like snuff film stuff.
Aren't my bag. But I do enjoy some of his cartooning work. It's in a direction that I have zero active interest in, so... Next time. But anyways, Peach Momoko is doing a variant cover, Kevin. You need to get on that.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, hey, it's good business. Jay Scott has proved you can live on variants.
You know, I haven't seen a lot of variants from him lately. It seemed for many months, it seemed like there was... like all the website and all the other stuff. Now it's just like... a regular full. I guess he's conceded the landscape to all the Peach covers.
He's also doing the regular covers on books, so if he's the regular cover, you know.
All right, who's got some... Let's get stop talking about variant covers. What kind of garbage speculation is that? We're fans of the medium, not the crass commercialization.
Sure.
Super Steve is guest of honor and returning champion. What do you want to start the show?
Yeah, I've been saving this one up for a little while here because I, at the end of the year last year, decided that, it's been piling up here. Why don't I go back and read the year in Hellboy?
Okay.
And by that I mean the Mike Mignola written material, the sort of main storylines he's published as a series of miniseries and one-shots and stuff. So there were three or four over the course of last year, in addition to the Young Hellboy things or whatever.
Come out, really? Like I saw one-shots and stuff.
Yeah, I thought he had wound up his work on the character.
Well, isn't it still going? Like, there's, like, Lady Baltimore and stuff like that?
Well, there is. There's all that stuff, but then there's still the Hellboy BPRD stories that look back. They've done, like, the 50s okay. and the 60s, and they are telling stories back scattered throughout Hellboy's history. Because Hellboy is dead in the present tense. But
hey, you well, don't, the last time don't I kill read, the cow. He went
to hell.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the 2020 Hellboy books, the Hellboy and BPRD books, I should say, and because it's combined now. And the first was a two-issue, The Return of Effie Kolb, with art by Zach Howard, which is a sequel to the 2008 The Crooked Man that had art by Richard Corbin. Oh, cool. And the character who was a young boy in that story is now old, Tommy, and he calls Hellboy, and Tommy has a girl with him that's accused of being a witch, but she's really just, like, prescient, and she feels some bad mojo coming from the old Kolb house from where Hellboy and Tommy, when he was younger, had their adventure that we saw back in the Crooked Man story. So she and Hellboy go up there to investigate, and they have a great back and forth going where she's almost like a Jubilee to a Wolverine or that kind of a character. She's like a little bit spunky and asks a lot of questions, and Hellboy's trying to protect her, but also is surprisingly comfortable with sort of just having her be there, and Hellboy needs someone to talk to tell a good Hellboy story. Otherwise, he's just punching the bad guys. So there's a woman who's at this at the old Kolb house, and she's the headmistress of some New York City school for, like, gifted children, and she tries to recruit the girl who's with Hellboy and everything, but this Effie Kolb is back to life, and when they left her, they had turned her into a horse and painted on the side of her, "I'm really a witch," and just left her to live out her years as a horse, but she's escaped that horrible prison, and in this story she grows huge, like living monolith huge, and almost eats Hellboy and everything. It's fun. And at the end, the girl kind of escapes off, and the next thing you see that she's getting off a bus at New York, and she's going to go and check out that school. So this storyline continues to have a thread that Mignola keeps picking up on, and it's because it seems like it'll go somewhere at some point. Then the other one was a one-shot, The Seven Wives Club, with art by Adam Hughes, where Hellboy and a female BPRD agent investigate this murder, but the lady who's accused, she didn't do it. Ghosts tricked her to do it. There's these seven ghosts of these women that were killed by this awful dude who then died, and his body was stolen by a coven of nuns who then did, like, the secret autopsy on him, and there was seven nuns, and now there's all these ghosts that have to be appeased. You know, Hellboy's always got to figure out how to settle the restless spirit, and manages to punch a bad guy in the face several times naturally too. And the last one was a one shot
Don Hellboy.
What's that? No. Oh, that one was good too, though.
Yeah.
This one is Her Fatal Hour and The Sending, both with art by Tiernan Trey Valian, who, I mean, I really like his distortions and exaggerations for a Hellboy story. He's Mignola-like without being derivative, kind of like when someone has, like, the power of Kirby but isn't really trying to totally ape him with the Kirby crackle and everything. But this one has an 18-page story, Her Fatal Hour, that's a quasi-sequel to The Beast of Vargu. That was a one-shot from the year before, where the daughter of this old woman that nursed Hellboy back to health needs his help to get her out of a marriage oath to some demon who's coming to collect his payment. And then the last one is an 8-page The Sending, where Hellboy's called to investigate the wrecking of this huge occult library by this mummified ghost thing. And then he learns of a second hidden library, and that's got the book that the ghost was looking for, and it attacks. There's this really cool sequence, though, where, like, this old man teaches Hellboy this thing. And this is what I like about Hellboy, where he just throws in different folklore things and like finds a way to get him into the story, and then you wonder, oh, was the whole story just because he had this cool piece of folklore that he wanted to include? And this is that if you Hellboy's taught to poke a bone with a nail to destroy a ghost, and it's like something about the nail hitting the bone that does the trick. I don't know. But then they sip tea and laugh about it after it's all over.
So it works.
It does. Try it at your own risk. Your mileage may vary. But you know what? I did read that Fearless Dawn one too, and that one was from 2020, so you got me there. I think that one was more towards the beginning. But that was fun. That was written by Mignola and Mannion.
Yeah, Mannion's my favorite. You guys got to read The Bomb. I can't stop saying that enough. It's with Fearless Dawn, and you guys will love it.
This was good. Well,
I sent it to Phil separately, but if you're a fan and on Patreon, he did just launch his Patreon recently. I have not jumped into Patreon myself, but putting it out there for those that
have. It's only $5, I think, and you get anything. He gives you all the comics digital and stuff.
Yeah, I just haven't.
Out with new, I think, you know?
Just haven't gone the Patreon route yet. Yeah. And he's also dropping some sketchbooks. And
yeah,
some
and he's stuff. Working with Eric Powell a lot, which is awesome. Because with Al, what's his company called?
Albatross.
Yeah, that one, yeah. He's doing work for that. A couple of things now.
Nice. All right, so I fit a lot of Hellboy in there.
Well, we're used to, we got to have our Dark Horse component.
Yep. Oh, and, yeah. Better I have a Dark Horse book, too.
Well, there's our Black Hammer segment.
I guess we can't do Aliens and Predator for Dark Horse anymore.
Yeah, it's off the table. It's like you can't do... we did that.
I like that Black Hammer Visions book, though.
You know, I was going to read that, and I said, I can't cover it for the show, so...
Why not?
Nope, Andrew is blocked. He's just going to censor us if we ever talk about it again, he said.
So I have two issues waiting to be read, but I'm like, well, it's not getting on the show.
He's just going to make us sound like the Charlie Brown adults.
Yeah. Kevin, the first one, it's all different creators. Each issue is like a different creative team.
I'm aware of the premise.
The first one was like really like a cliche.
Snappy.
It was like cliched, like what you would think that the book would be, like a story, and then, but the second one, issue two, is Jeff Johns and Scott Collins.
Oh, cool.
And they do a House of Mystery riff.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Totally Bronze Age-ish, like opens with Madame Dragonfly as like a hostess character, presenting the reader with the tale and everything. And then it's really drawn pretty, but the story is weak, just like a lot of those stories were, where this one, the victim is like a kid, like he's being, like an adolescent kid who's being kidnapped and already beaten up some by some guy who's bringing him somewhere to do something nefarious. And it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because when the evil gets rid of the bad guy, he then gets victimized by Madame Butterfly or Madame Dragonfly too. So it's like, I don't know. The tone is good and the pacing and the art is really good and everything, but it just, maybe that's the Black Hammer twist of it that then, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just was, I was a little bit unfulfilled story wise. Cause it's like, oh, the kid should have gotten out of there somehow, but nope. Spoiler. But I couldn't pass up
another Black Hammer ongoing.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Gonna milk it for everything I got, I guess.
Well, it's gonna... Yeah, it's like the... It's getting kind of Hellboy-ish, isn't it? With all this extra miniseries and anthologies and...
Oh, for sure.
Different creators and...
I'm off the Black Hammer train myself.
They let you off the train?
Yeah. I feel good.
Well, I pick and choose just like everything. Like, there's some of those ones that I didn't dig. The one that went back to the 50s, I didn't care for that much, even though it was probably all right. And I'm not really reading the Barbarella, Barbaria, or, you know, whatever. Barbalian. Mm-hmm.
Overall, I had a fun time, but I felt like I had an ending.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. So that's why I haven't jumped into the other stuff.
But seeing little one-shots by different creators, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. No, some of my favorite parts were the miniseries.
It's fun when they did it with Tom Strong. It was fun when they did it with, you know what I mean? When they do those kinds of things and get other creators in to do a little something-something because they like the book too.
I'm sure we can get you into that, Steve, but we can't get you into Valiant.
Eric Larson did it for Robert Kirkman. That's how we got all his good stuff. Yeah. Let him do some of his Savage Dragon Super
There's
Patriot.
Supposed to be another issue of Ant.
Ant?
Didn't Larson buy Ant from the creator? It's Ant, right?
No, by Robert Kirkman? No.
No, by... I don't even remember who it's by anymore.
I know who Ant is, though. The image character, yeah.
Did you watch any of the Invincible cartoon yet?
That's what I was going to talk about, yeah. I've seen all four episodes because the number four dropped today.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I watched the trailer and I watched part of the first episode. I just got interrupted.
Mm-hmm. How's the animation?
Good. Well, yes, but in the first episode especially, sometimes the flying and stuff looks a little janky. but otherwise, yeah, the gore looks really good, though, when they do the gore stuff. And as far as being loyal to the comics, I think it's great. And I'm having a lot of fun with it, for sure. I'm reading the comics again, so I have all the comics out, all the spinoffs and tie-ins, like everything all set up, and I'm going through it right now.
I've seen some comments, and then I've been... My response has mostly been in my head, yeah, that sounds like the comic.
Definitely. Put it in the queue, and I thought it looked like, at least the still stuff, it looks like they're trying to adapt it somewhat faithfully. Look, I mean, it's animation.
Yeah.
But I thought the art seemed to look like, I'm not the biggest Invincible expert, but it seemed like, it didn't look like they didn't pick some completely different art style where you're like, what?
It looks like, it's straight out of the comics. Yeah.
Well, didn't they get the artist from Invincible to work on the show? Maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, if he does the model sheets or whatever, that doesn't always translate to the end of the show. And like I said, I still haven't. It's on the queue. Probably got to watch for more of it to get uploaded. I like to watch them all in a big bunch.
Me too, but I need something to watch one night, and I end up watching the first three. I couldn't stop.
The first one wasn't exactly short either. When I looked at the length of it, it was more than a half hour.
Yeah. I think they all are, if I'm correct.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I read the first... I mean, I think I started... I came onto the book late, like maybe somewhere in the 70s. And went back and binged everything previous to that in the trades. Wow. And the trades were great because in the back they have their commentary and everything. The back matter was really fun. And then read monthly, kind of in chunks, the way I... read, like, even though I was buying monthly, I kind of read them like in trades.
Yeah, I did that for Walking Dead too.
But then I'm like slapping myself because why wouldn't I just wait then and get the trades? Because I like the presentation of the, I missed that back matter or whatever. But then when I got to issue 100, that was such a big moment that I'm like, all right, I'm gonna wait and let the issues build up. And I never got back to them. And I have all the rest of the issues. I've only read up to issue 100.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, that's good because then you have a nice finish to the story.
I know.
And there's so many good tie-ins, like Brit, Guardians of the Globe, like all the different spin-offs they had. He was even in Marvel Team-Up with Spider-Man. That was a good issue.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, some of those early issues are pretty expensive, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have like 200 issues of Invincible stuff here or more. And I'm just digging deep into that right now.
Fun. I'm also glad it's a cartoon. You know, I mean, I like all the live action stuff too, but it's nice to see.
I'm just not into cartoons anymore, but this one I'm enjoying.
He's growing up.
Yeah. I don't know. They just don't do it for me as much. I kind of prefer the live action these days.
Phil prefers real boobs.
Because I feel like I get all my cartoons with the comics, right?
Yep.
Like those are my cartoons.
Oh my gosh. They're totally separate.
Wow.
Hey, Eric Larson would agree with me. Maybe not.
I still think you have the same problem with live action stuff, trying to get the artist style into your show or movie. Like, sometimes that's hard to convey. So animation kind of
sidesteps. These days it's a lot easier. They have some great superhero stuff out there now. Like TV show wise, you know.
Speaking of watching stuff, I watched the final season of Attack on Titan, and they said because it's the final season.
How is that not over yet?
That it's coming back in the winter because they showed the final episode of the final season, but it's still coming back because they didn't show you everything. They're still making it. I'm like, so it's not the final season? Hilarious, guys.
Hey, it's Hellboy and Black Hammer all over again.
So if you're selling apparently units, the comics end in I think April or something. But yeah, there was gonna be a weird thing where they were both gonna end sort of around the same time, and that didn't happen because I guess they, for whatever reason, you know, they didn't want to truncate it or whatever. They didn't tell you how many parts were in the final season.
Oh, my favorite manga also became on Netflix too, High Rise Evasion. Did you watch that one, Kevin?
Oh, that's where I know that name from. Yeah,
that's one of the ones I love.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it, but I love the comic anyway.
Yeah. Well, you want to know what the Dark Horse comic I have is? I seem to be really into the Dark Horse.
Give it to us.
It's a Black Hammer title.
Jesus.
I mean, if I would have faked this is a Black Hammer title, I might have been able to do it. If I would have saying Orphan and the Five Beasts, and people have been like, yeah, maybe.
Oh, I have that to read, yeah. That looks cool.
So you have a James Stokoe joint. So I think you pretty much know what you're getting with this type of thing.
Is he writing and drawing it?
He is. And it sort of has what was the other one? Remember, I had that one. I don't remember. It was from I don't even remember. It looks very much like that type of thing, though. The thing that I can't remember was very much like that type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Crystal clear, Kevin. Anyway, so what's this particular thing?
It's a whole martial arts where someone's adopted. They're the orphan. Not Cassandra Cain. And it is funny. They're like talking to, I guess, technically their father, but it's the person that adopted them. And they're like pouring all this water. He's like in this giant, hilarious, like, bathtub type of thing, where there's like,
so it's not just a regular bathtub, but it's a hilarious bathtub.
Well, it has like this giant eyeball. It sort of looks like exactly like the eyeball on some Viz manga stuff, and it's like a giant pot. And there's like all these candles going around it. There's all the steam coming out of it. Like he's like in a steam bath. But like this giant pot is like on this thing that's also being heated up. And then like our lead character here is like pouring water into it. So this guy is like filling us in on like the history of this area and everything, while he's like steaming himself in this thing. Well, he has like a pipe, so it's so strange. And then when he comes out of it, you think, oh no, he has like, it seems like he's gonna have all these powers and everything. And it's like, no, he's just like a wilted old man that collapses on the floor. Something about it I just found really hilarious. But yeah, there's this guy that collapses.
So you like seeing old people die?
I guess.
Only in the bathtub.
I mean, he might have been steamed too well, like a lobster or something. So,
so old man in a bathtub. That's, I know, one of the things. If it's not cats in the comics, it's old men in bathtubs. It's old men in bathtubs,
I know.
Is this going to be a new thing? What was that movie? With the bathtub? Why can't I remember that movie?
Yeah, maybe you need to stop referencing things you can't remember. That's not really helping anybody.
This is a good bit. So, this is a good bit. It's not History of Violence. It's the other movie that
It's not a good bit when you're like, it's like that thing I can't remember.
Because there's a fat man in the bathtub.
It's a Russian bathtub. Everyone's running around naked. And then there's like, they're knifing people.
Ooh, that was a scene in John Wick.
No. It's an older movie.
We're thinking about this too much.
Anyhow,
yeah, move on. It's the Viggo Mortensen movie. I know what one you're talking about. I don't remember the title, but it's got Viggo Mortensen.
I remember that one.
It's a History of Violence. It's a comic book one.
No. This is he went and played another.
Oh, I started with
the Andrew's like, I know what this is. Now just move on.
But let's we have like 8 minutes of like, I think it's this thing. I don't know. And
hey, Andrew, you weren't here for the coherent bit. So the old man that steamed himself like a lobster was giving the lay of the land. That's what I was saying. Because this guy shows up and he has like this insignia on his forehead and they're like, oh, that's the guy from the... that's coming back. He used to be like a whole wolf man that was like riding a horse. And then these dudes showed up and they said, oh, they wanted to train in the mystic arts and they'll confront the wolf man. What's great is you don't really see who these five men or people are, and I'm like, I'm not sure if they're supposed to be in shadow or they just look like weird lava men with different attributes. But it has that like whole, like it's not just black. Like you could have just had it be like a blank shadow, just black. But you can actually see like that he's gone in there and put all the pencil lines of the black in there. So I'm like, that's sweet.
Well, so I like his artwork.
It's out of his bathtub and everything. Our lead character here goes on an adventure to eliminate these five beasts. That's a basic.
Is this a one shot or is it ongoing?
No, I think this is a 4 or 5 issue miniseries.
How many issues do you have?
I have one issue.
It's just one so far.
Yeah, just came out. And the first bad beast in this first issue is Thunder Thighs. He has really thick thighs. he tries to get on these, I guess, regular sized horses, maybe little horses. And then in a moment of extreme
passion,
violence in an invincible fashion that we were talking about, his thighs are so thunder thick that while he's riding the horse, he pretty much kills the horse and the horse explodes all over and goo goes flying all over the place.
Ew.
Yeah, so
I've had those moments.
I mean,
is that how they make glue?
It does have big thighs.
So this comic book is just old naked man and a guy with big thighs. Are you continuing to purchase this?
It's funny that our lead character...
It's manga, Andrew.
It's funny that our lead character appears to be a girl, but she's so covered up that it's kind of hard to tell. So it's actually the guys that are running around in bathtubs and without any clothing.
That's it. I'm out.
But as soon as I saw James Stokoe's name was on a series from Dark Horse Comics, I was like, I'm in.
You know, I always like looking at his stuff. But for me, my favorite was always that one. It's the orc one or goblin. What was it?
Yeah. Orcstain?
Orcstain.
Yeah, Orcstain. Yeah, that's the one that...
I like that other one I couldn't remember with the Egyptian guy, the lizard man that was going down the river and everything. That one was really good too.
Well, I mentioned the one I like.
Short Box, the UK publisher. I just can't remember the name of the book.
But I know it would be a sensitive subject for some of you, so.
Why you got
referencing
now?
The scandalous Kickstarter of which he was merely the hired gun.
Oh, Sullivan Sluggers.
That's your favorite one?
No, but I do. That's where he came onto my radar. Like I had not heard of it before that.
Oh,
I like the Godzilla book. That might have been. Mm-hmm. The Godzilla book was great.
That might have been.
Yeah.
And then they did a Treasury edition of it. That was cool.
Even the Aliens was kind of fun.
Sure. And he worked on Moon Knight.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did the Werewolf by Mars, but it was Werewolf by
Mars. He did a fun Silver Surfer story. He had that Secret Wars crossover, you know?
He also did splash pages in a Secret Wars thing. Then there was like a Marvel Future thing, one shot. That was like the Avengers in the future. Apparently he was doing some DC stuff recently that I didn't read either.
Not that I've noticed, because I'm kind of sucking right now.
Well, I think it was the origin of that that chicken guy.
Chicken guy.
His
you know,
the
with,
style
with the,
seems to lend itself to taking a long time. Like, I can't imagine.
For sure.
There's a lot of detail, so I think that would be hard for him to be, you know, do like a long monthly commitment. Maybe he's really fast, but it just seems like there's a lot on the page. Like, you're getting your money's worth out of it.
For sure.
I have a couple of t-shirts with a couple of the covers from the Godzilla books he did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Did you talk about the alien on here?
Yeah, Steve did once.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But it's orbit. Not like it's just pointless detail. Like, you'll see a face and there's not a whole lot of lines, but there'll be some background thing or something where it'll be noodled up.
Yeah. Very Sergio Aragonés in that respect.
So nice.
All right, I got one more too while we keep talking about the sort of cinematic Hollywood connection to these books. I got a Boom book. I don't know if you guys have talked about it since it came out a little bit ago. It's the Berserker number one.
Oh, I read that.
We have not talked about it, but it is famous.
Apparently, it's the best-selling comic of all time.
Wow. Keanu Reeves and Matt Kent with art by Ron Garney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a kick-ass commando. Nothing can stop the guy. He's an unstoppable force. And I mean, to the point where he just takes liberties with himself beyond even, like, what Wolverine would allow. Like, he'll put his hand up to take a bullet, like, to block the end of a gun and just let his hand get blown off and then beat the guy up or whatever. Or he'll drive his truck right into an airplane to stop it from taking off and let the whole thing blow up and let himself half burn up. And he's like an invulnerable John Wick. And the dialogue is very Keanu Reeves, too, which is funny. And then he goes back to the government agency that sponsors him, and they sew him back together and send him off on another mission. Mm-hmm. But this time, something bothers him, something that happens on the mission that we see as the opening sequence of this issue, and it has the potential to make him question stuff. His role, his duties, his masters, maybe, I'm hoping. I'm kind of intrigued, and the art is really good. I mean, it's Ron Garney. It's very cinematic. It's very fast-paced, but there's still a lot to look at.
A quick read, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Very quick read, yeah.
I remember Reeves from the 90s. didn't he start inking Forceworks? Was that his first work in comics, guys? You remember he was a long history of a real tradesman of the craft. It's been advancing the art form for I'm all for celebrity comics. You guys know that. I always love it when some.
But I think people were pissed when they kickstarted it, right?
Did they?
Yeah. I think people were all mad because they kickstarted that comic.
I'm always happy with how Boom runs their business.
If the rewards are worth it, I mean.
It doesn't bother me. Who cares who kickstarts, right? Like, you have a choice to buy it or not.
The argument being that the people that are going to take up all the... there's two sides. One, they're driving traffic to Kickstarter, which I don't know how that, or the flip side is they're taking all the oxygen away from what was supposed to be for people who didn't have a means to get the funding. It lets them now shift the risk from the comic book store owners to the individual comic store reader purchasers, namely us. So whether you think that's a good shift in risk,
like, I think if you're looking for those indie comics, you're going to find them anyway, though.
Yeah, but when Archie Publishing or Dynamite does a Kickstarter for a book that you know they're going to put out anyway, and they're just looking for basically an interest-free loan up front, and, you know,
and you're like, hey, you're supposed to be sticking that to the comic book store owners.
Yeah.
But, well, I was also thought about it, not to return to an old topic, but McFarlane did the Spawn toy Kickstarter that made a fortune. Yeah. It was the same thing. Like, he literally owns a toy company.
I love his toys so much. I wish I could buy them all, but they're so expensive.
And he kickstarted a toy, which makes me, you know, a cynical person may draw the wrong conclusions.
On the top of my shelf that has all my CDs on it, and that's a lot of shelf along the top edge of it, but it's thin because it's just the density, you know, the depth of a CD, are all the a bunch of McFarlane Dragons. They're the only ones that I have. Those were really cool, though. I love Dragons, and there were so many different ones, and they were modeled so nicely and everything. They were real. The sculpts are great on those.
My favorite are the Movie Maniac ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the little posters that come with. Like Edward Scissorhands, like those figures you'll never get anywhere else, you know?
Does it come with NECA I think NECA does some of them, or do you not like them? I don't have any of their stuff, but I know they do.
I've got a bit of NECA, a bit of horror of that, you know, like the Freddy's, things like that. And there is a Beetlejuice I want from them. But it's
and if you like Loa, because
I want them in package.
Migo's been doing. I don't know how you feel about like
I'm not
the Universal Monsters. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not as big on those ones.
They got it's more like Dracula.
Yeah, it's more like I like the old characters like Edward Scissorhands, you know, like from those movies, Beetlejuice, things like that. From the
childhood ones, not like
Goonies,
Dracula,
whatever.
And Frankenstein.
Or I like Hellraiser. Freddy, you know, Jason, things like that.
Did all of the old Mego movie monsters heads glow in the dark, or was it just the Dracula? And didn't the Frankenstein head glow in the dark too? So I'm starting
some of the waves did, but they've been re-releasing them the last few years.
But I mean the old. I mean the original ones from when we were kids.
Yeah, when the company came back maybe 5 years ago, they've been doing a lot of pop culture licenses, a lot of weird TV shows and stuff, but also Planet of the Apes, some classic Star Trek, and the movie monsters of Universal with some of the likeness rights, I believe. I know that's a whole thing getting into the Bela Lugosi estates and all that stuff, and there's people that spend all their free time researching those sorts of things. And it was never the Universal Monsters, I don't know, it was okay, but it was never my jam. Mm-hmm. I was more into the superheroes and the Star Trek, and I don't think I had any of the Planet of the Apes ones, but I would have gotten them if I saw them.
I just got one in, it's a custom one with a card, it's in the card back and everything, of a Short Round from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh, nice.
And he has, like, it's really well done, and he has, like, the bag with the whip hold, you know, the makeshift bag and everything.
Andrew, what size scale, roughly?
It's like the normal Star Wars kind of size.
Three and three quarters.
Three and three quarters.
But he's shorter because he's a kid or whatever. But
3.5.
Yeah. But yeah, it was only $20 auction.
Andrew, you know, one of the things that I think is endearing about those old Universal Monsters is that a lot of the you know, different licensed toys and model kits and things that kids could enjoy or think that was cool when we were kids for the things like that we did like superheroes and stuff, there was all of that merchandise already existed from the decades prior that were all related to the Universal Monsters. So when you had a little rubber guy that had a wire inside that made him bendy or whatever, they had like the Universal Monsters right alongside Batman and Superman. And it was just that stuff was left over because those were around before the superheroes, and that's kind of fun. Like those old Aurora model kits and everything. There's the poster, the life-size Frankenstein on the back of your door. There's a lot of kooky pop culture fun merchandise that's related to the Universal Monsters that makes them more than just the movies.
Oh, for sure. I just missed the Aurora model kit thing, but those things always intrigue me because they had superheroes too. And those, like, the little statues of Captain America and Spider-Man and all that stuff. And, yeah, those Aurora model kits always seemed like the coolest thing. I'm sure they were, in actuality, not as cool. But, you know, you only saw, at least I only saw, like, the drawings of the models type of thing. Like, they rarely,
right.
You know, those old ads, they didn't always use pictures.
They couldn't. They just use there was no way to use pictures. Of, yeah.
So you'd be like, oh, that thing looks so cool.
That was.
But as far as the movies, I never really got into them as a kid.
Fair enough.
But I don't have any. Not like I like the characters and stuff. I just feel like, you know, I don't know. That style of acting was not my thing.
Acting?
All right, boy. Should we. Does anyone have anything else they want to say? Or should we.
Yeah, I have a final thing to reference.
Okay, give it to us.
Funny enough, I found out it's from Dark Horse Presents. No, I have like this. Them? I have this like little. It's weird because apparently it was nominated for like some, like a collected edition, but it's a single issue, and I'm like, wow, some of those indie award places really like to stretch the definition of what something is in the 90s. But this was At the Seams by Ed Brubaker. 295 US, 395 Canadian in the 90s. June 1997. That's pretty expensive for a 24-page comic.
You guys should have found someone in Oregon to run comics illegally across the border. Cut yourself a little break there on that.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. It says Alternative Press, and then it says even printed in Canada.
Oh, you guys just need to in at the print shop.
Apparently.
Have a couple extra copies run off, and you beat them out the back.
Because it's printed here, but it costs us a fuckload more.
Oh, it's so strange. But yeah, this is... super indie Brubaker, like in between Low Life, a complete Low Life type of thing, and then Detour. So this is like apparently it was three issues, like Dark Horse Presents 113, and he had three stories, I guess, in three issues in a row. So it's funny that they're all collected here, sort of like relationship stuff. But there's like weird anomalies. Like, I just wonder, like, there's a caption box on top of someone's head for no reason. So I was just like, what was the deal? Like, did he do this and go, oh, that needs to, like, did he draw the head in? And then he goes, ah, I need more info for this story. So I'll just paste the caption box over this guy's head. Or did he have that there, then draw the scene? And be like, I have less to draw now. And I'll just, like, it's weird. The guy's eyebrows are, like, right on top of the caption box. Indie creators, right?
They can do whatever they want.
Exactly. So it's in the typical Brubaker fashion of the time. You're like, is this autobio? Is this, like, semi-related? But it also takes place sort of in... not a shared universe, but apparently there was a comic out there that has this concept of when the sun went black. So that's like has like no bearing on the story, just that the sun is black, and then you just get into your regular relationship issues in this, and then crazy. I don't know. Every story seems to have like some kind of gun mugging type of thing, and then they're like, "Oh no!" He's just like at one point he's like, "Oh no!" He's like he thinks he can. He's gonna be like be able to avoid the mugging by like dancing between the bullets or something, and he just happens to pick up a trash can, throw it back, and then he's like, how come I didn't get shot? And somehow he knocks the guy out, and then he takes the gun. Like, just weird. And then the next time something like this comes up, I'm like, he gets mugged, but then he tells the mugger, well, if you already took the money out of my wallet, can I at least have my wallet back? And he gets his wallet back. Like, it's just weird. Weird stuff in here, but very, like, real worldly.
Well, I think the term Brubaker-verse rolls off the tongue quite well, if it is all a shared universe.
I mean, it would fit into, like, the Criminal-verse or anything like that, like, but it's weird the guy is sort of like him. I mean, you know, like glasses kind of guy with the slightly long hair, and he's working at a video rental store. If that doesn't give away the age of this stuff. But I always find it interesting, like before he becomes more of a name. But it's funny that they have an ad in here for Indie Magazine, the guide to alternative comics. Like,
oh, I've wanted to buy that. I wanted to buy,
yeah,
I
was, I'm like,
buy. I think there's three issues
finding some of those things, because it's funny, like they term it just like Wizard Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says there's a website, Andrew, http://www.indieworld.com, but not indie IE, like indie like with a Y.
I'm not falling for your crap.
Like Indy, the torch is going out, Indy?
Apparently.
They're, yeah, like, it listing? Is controversial. Indy should be IE. I don't know if I can. I don't think I want any part of that.
But apparently that issue had like Pete Bagg, the Chris Ware, Ed Brubaker, and I'm like, interesting. Interviews. So if I ever see one of those.
Well, they have them on eBay.
Yeah.
If it's the one I'm thinking of.
Well, those are pretty big names, too. Like, they're like the different sort of indie. Because it is fun how indie can be like a guy with a day job making comics that he sells up the back of a van and, you know, Chris Ware on the other end.
It is the 90s, but I'm like, I don't know who the comic Hilly Rose is by B.C. Boyer. He was also interviewed. Then it says Hate. Of course I know Hate. Acme Novelty Library. Of course I know that. And then Brubaker's listed for Low Life. And I'm like, I don't know if there was a few issues, but then I'm like, not like that. Yeah, it's pretty indie. So weird.
Well, we always have those titles that kind of come and go and companies that come and go and cash in on it. It's really sad that there really isn't. I know we used to get, I think I've commented this before, like magazines delivered to the house, and now it's barely a trickle. We get a handful of them because they're just,
yeah. Well, the I still magazine get my format. Favorite one.
You mean you don't get that app that gives you access to 500 magazines?
Yeah.
No, I used to like the print magazines.
Of course.
Get a bunch, well, I still, it's just most of them I find move to bi-monthly, like a lot of the ones I get.
Entertainment Weekly is now monthly.
Yeah.
Or quarterly.
Well, I also know a bunch of them have gone digital only, too. I like Mental Floss was kind of a newer one. I used to enjoy reading the print issue, and then they just went completely to the online model.
High Times.
I like it. Good magazine still.
I'm waiting to the We Got It Covered print magazine.
Buy this magazine or I'll shoot this dog.
Oh, I have a lot of comics with that cover.
Well, there was just something kind of, it's a nice change of pace from a comic book, usually. I don't know. There's something about way magazines are laid out that feels not like anything else.
Agreed.
You mean you don't have to stop those videos from loading up in front of what you're reading?
Even the Tomorrow books and stuff. It's just nice to read text and have spot illustrations around and stuff. And it's like part of the internet printed out on paper, Kevin.
I mean, there was a reason why I would buy indexes and all these things, because I'm like, I'm never going to have... Who knew? I still think about that Tomorrow's, that's the Indie Tomorrow's issue. And then there was supposed to be like an Archie Cherry Pop-Tart issue.
Cherry Pop-Tart? What the hell's that mean?
Tomorrow's puts out a lot of... a lot of stuff. Oh, the title, Phil, the comic, not all ages comic. I think it's like a Archie adult comic, but I don't think it's a real grinder type of adult. I think it's meant to be kind of funny adult.
Yeah, apparently I've never read it. Not see the humor.
I mean, I would get it. I would read it, but it's one of those things you see and you're like, yeah, I think I'm good.
I think I'm good. Well, isn't there also like the cats one? You got to read that one, Andrew. You got to report back.
Josie the Pussycats in Space?
No, I think Omaha the Cat Dancer.
Oh.
I remember that was like it was interesting because it was the distinction between like porn comics, which were just there for the porn, and then the ones like Omaha that was having a story and other elements to it.
Yep. That was like Strangers in Paradise before Strangers in Paradise.
Yeah, oh, I'm totally into some of his comics again. Terry Moore.
And if you watch the kayfabe episodes, they keep on going off on Hepcats. They don't like Hepcats.
I don't know that one.
You need to read more Wizards.
Yeah, the Wizard was not an era of mine. I did not read a lot. I don't think I've ever read an issue of Wizard.
I was
magazine.
Young enough where I had a lot of fun with those, and Hero Illustrated I had a lot of fun with.
I would have, if it had come out at my time, I would have definitely bought. I bought Marvel Age, which was a gosh darn advertisement for Marvel.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
it
Hero Illustrated was
just by Marvel Age.
So I would have bought like Wizard or anything else like that. That would have. It's not that I'm like snobby about it. I just by the time that thing came around, yeah. I was.
For me, it was because I was young. It was like a big treat, kind of like the wrestling magazines when they used to put them out.
Yeah, there's something fun about the magazine. It feels. I think it also feels like you're an adult, kind of like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting a magazine.
Nintendo
like,
Power, you know, all that stuff.
Oh yeah, Nintendo Power. Yeah, and that had comics. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing is the magazines that have little comics in them and advertisements and posters. For stuff. Posters, giveaways.
Yeah. That was good. It was like a community thing. Like, there was no way I was going to find out about everything going on in comics just by reading Marvel. And even if you only read Marvel comics, like, that was sort of your supplement. You're like, oh, I know everything else that's going on.
Well, like I said, maybe it's a Todd McFarlane, but I'm excited for this new era of Image and everything and getting it on the ground floor. And
oh, good, because I'll probably be reading it, too.
Seeing.
Well, you guys report back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if I'll be in a comic store when they come out, but fingers crossed.
I mean, do you think these are going to come out on a monthly basis shortly, and there'll be all these issues when you do get back to the comic shop?
We'll just see and get the trade.
Well, I wonder if they're going to sell out or whatever.
Instead. You mean sell out, or he's going to sell out?
Sell out. Like, I don't know. I don't know how they run print runs now. Like, if he wants to print, like, a crazy first run or do, like, a short first run so he can have a press release that sold out and then do second and third runs.
I don't know. There's so many rumors and people that have so many grudges about print runs that I'm not quite sure which one is. I feel like these people all have like vested interests in these, so I feel like I'm not getting the straight scoop on some of these things.
Well, I mean, that's the problem, right? Because there is no... Even Wizard had a vet. Like, all those companies... The industry's not big enough to support independent investigation, so everybody that's running the scam has a hand in the till. Like, that's just part of the gig. That's why you just stick with what you like. At least I do. I know, Kevin, you're a speculator, but I just can't afford to have my heart broken anymore.
I speculate on things I like and things we cover on Marvel Noise, and it doesn't lead us astray.
Peach Momoko, folks, you heard it here first. But I think that wraps us up. Anything else? We're in the rambling territory now.
This one's for Peach.
This one's for the Peach. Thanks for this.
The giant Peach?
Kevin, still no catchphrase for 2021?
There is no catchphrase.
Eat a peach. Right. Eat a peach.
What?
It's an Allman Brothers album. It's a famous album.
It is? What album was that?
Eat a Peach. It's got a giant peach on the cover.
Really?
You can't miss it.
Huh.
Classic album.
Phil, you're still exempting yourself from the catchphrase.
Well, I'm acknowledging you now at least, but... That's about it.
Okay. Well, I always like to say thanks to the listeners.
Maybe this episode will be published on iTunes, not just on the website.
Yeah.
Seriously, the episode did come out.
Don't poke Gary.
We're having some technical issues, folks, but don't you worry about that. We're still here. We're not going away.
It might say March 30th that episode was posted, but it was actually March 15th. go check the sentient Twitter feed and everything. That's when it actually came out.
Just go to indiecomicbooknoise.com and get it there. You'll never go wrong.
Slacking again.
I don't know why Stitcher had that one episode posted like 50 times. It says 0 minutes, but you can play it. News to me.
Well... I don't think Stitcher is long for this world anyways. Who's a Stitcher guy? I have the app on my phone. But
we have a listener that's a Stitcher guy.
Oh. Hey, thanks for listening, Stitcher.
Oh, hey. Thanks, Stitcher guy.
I've come around 180%.
We love Stitcher guy.
Later.